It is not the text itself that I am contemplating. It is the text against the times that we are living in. Because we are living in some times right now of emptiness. I'm wondering if there's anybody watching me that's been feeling empty. Now, I must take the time to make a distinction between being empty and being tired. If you are just tired and you get some sleep, you wake up in the morning and you feel better. But if you're empty, sleep will not resolve it. Is there anybody who woke up feeling as bad as you did when you laid down? It's not that you're tired. It's that you're empty. And this message goes out, oh my God, to people who have been having this indescribable feeling that you don't even understand how to explain yourself, that you have just seen so much and heard so much and watched so much and read so much and seen so much news and read so many texts and seen so many things tweeted and seen so many things happening in your personal life, in your financial life, in your public life, in our professional life, that you, so many people have been calling on you, asking for advice and for help and for encouragement. To the point, there's not that I don't like you, but I saw it was your number and I didn't answer. Not because I don't like you, I said I'm empty. I want to talk to some people who are just feeling empty, not happy, not sad. Just empty. People keep asking you, how are you? And you can't even find a word to articulate how you've been feeling because you're not used to describing yourself as if your contents were gone because you've never been drained like you've been drained here lately. And you are feeling empty. In psychology, they call it compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue is when you have had so many disastrous things happen, one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other, that you run out of compassion. Now, it's hard to quantify compassion because we don't know where compassion stays. We don't know whether it's in our liver, our lungs, our heart, our tissue, our kidneys. We don't know where it stays, but we know when it's gone. We can't describe. If we could figure out where it stayed, we could block them from taking it. But little by little and day by day and hour by hour, every phone call, every situation, every problem, every dilemma has taken its toll. And you run out of something that an accountant cannot account for, that a lawyer cannot fight for, that an agriculturalist cannot grow back. You run out of compassion. And now, you're empty. Empty is running out of care. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what I put on. I don't care what I look like. I don't care that I haven't shaved. I don't care that I haven't done my hair. I don't care that my nails are grown out. I don't care because I don't care because I spent all my care on you. And now, not only am I broke, but I've also run out of care. And now, I'm just empty. Empty is walking around with a sad face and nobody died. Empty is walking around without any kind of expression because you run out of the energy that it takes to have an impact. Empty is letting the kids do whatever they want to do and you don't even say nothing because you're just empty. I'm tired of arguing with you. Go on and go wherever you want to go because mama is just empty. I ain't got no more. I don't have no more advice. I don't have no more energy. I don't have no more passion. I don't have no more drive. I am empty. Who wants to hire an empty person? You hire people for their creativity. You value them for their knowledge and their intellect. You hire people who have got passion and energy and insight and ideas. And God said, I don't want none of that stuff. I don't want ideas. I don't want creativity. I don't want passion. Go borrow me some empty. Can you imagine being the little boys who are about to be taken for debt? And in a last surge of hope, go knocking on doors and say, Mama said, can we borrow some empty? How do you fix your mouth to ask me for empty? I could see wanting a cup of sugar. I could see wanting a handful of meal. I could see wanting to borrow some soap or some dishwashing liquid. But your mama sent me over here, sent you over here to ask me for some empty. That's what the prophet told the woman that God valued. That God values you the most, not when you're full, not when you're overflowing, not when you've got all kind of creative impact and energy, that God values you the most when you are empty. You see, God creates empty. When in the book of Genesis, when he reached down into the earth and he formed man from the dust of the earth, he formed an empty vessel. Yeah. He was careful. He didn't form it full. He formed it empty. And he wanted it to be empty so he'd have something to blow into. Y'all don't hear me. Out of the dust of the earth, an old clay pot, an old empty vessel called Adam, hallelujah, made of red earth. God shaped him and formed him, and then when he made him empty, then God was attracted to him. Touch your neighbor and say, come empty. And so there God is. We see the master himself hovered over top of an empty vessel, as if he were an eagle hovering over an egg, as if he were about to hatch something. God came down from eternity, stepped over into time, and hovered over an empty vessel. And he was so attracted to it that he kissed the empty vessel. And when he kissed it, he blew in his mouth the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but God is getting ready to kiss somebody. Hey! God is getting ready to kiss somebody who's been walking around for the last 3 weeks with an indescribable emptiness down inside of you, a void, a vacuum that nothing seems to fill. You're watching TV, but you're distracted. You're listening at the news, but you're only half listening at it. You're going through the motions. You can't even remember for sure, is this Wednesday or is this Thursday? Is this Friday or this Tuesday? You're just empty, but God is attracted to empty. And so he hovered over an empty vessel and he blew into it the breath of lives and it became a living soul. Later on, as we turn the pages of the Bible, we will see where God tells Moses on the mountaintop to go form a tabernacle. And Moses formed the tabernacle. And once he got the tabernacle all formed, then God said, fill it with furniture. And he began to fill that which was empty with furniture. And then when he made the holies of holies, God said, if you make the holies of holies and you make it empty, I'll come in and fill it with glory. And the glory was called Shekinah glory. Because God is, oh, I feel like preaching now. God is attracted to empty. The question is not, are you full enough? The question is, are you empty enough? Because what God wants to come into his presence are not people who got it all together, are not people who got the hair all coiffed. God wants people to come into his presence who are empty. And the Bible said that if you are empty enough, God will fill you. Or let me say it this way: he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. God said, I'm not going to feed you till you're hungry. I'm not going to feed you till you're thirsty, because I am a God that is attracted to empty. Excuse me, I got to knock on another. Mama said, can we borrow your empty? You want what, baby? Mama said, can we borrow your empty? Excuse me. My mama sent me over to your house to say, can we burn your empty? And door by door and house by house and neighbor by neighbor, the boys went out and all they gathered was empty. And they kept coming back to mama's house bringing empty vessels, one right after another. The Bible doesn't tell us how many they brought, but the Bible does tell us that the oil didn't begin to flow until it found empty. There is a glory that God will only release on somebody who comes into his presence and you dare to come empty. I'm out of ideas. I'm out of concepts. I don't have nobody else to call. God said, you're just right for me. Because what I've been waiting on you to do is run out. And what I've been waiting on you to do is to run out of people to call and run out of people to trust and run out of people to explain yourself to and run out of people with ideas. I've been waiting on you to run out of yourself and run out of what was in your head and run out of your education and run out of your intellect and run out of your reservoir of scriptures. And when you get empty enough, I'm gonna come in your life and I'm gonna fill you with the glory like you never had before. Somebody shout, come empty. Mama said that we need to borrow some of your empty. And house by house, and neighbor by neighbor, and person by person, they kept borrowing empty, because my God is so big, it isn't a question, can he supply it? The question is, do I have enough empty to attract God's attention? Little by little, and house by house, and neighbor by neighbor, let me get enough empty. It reminds me of what Jesus did when he laid hands on the disciples and bless him and told him to go to Jerusalem and said, don't start preaching until you're empty. And the Bible said that all of these disciples were in the upper room and they had not been filled with the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were in one place with one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Yes! Cloven tongues appeared like as a fire and set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. If you want God to fill you, you gotta come empty. If you want God to bless you, you gotta come empty. If you want God to help you, you gotta come empty. If you want God to deliver you, you gotta come empty. Somebody shout empty. That's what he wants. When you finally run out, when you finally get empty, when you finally run out of ideas, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were in one place with one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Cloven tongues appeared like as a fire, and they were all